By now, you may have heard about the tax cliff. On December 31st, 2012, a set of federal income tax cuts are set to expire. These cuts, signed into law by President George W. Bush in 2001 and 2003, were first set to expire in 2010, but were extended until, well, now. Together with other tax breaks instituted by President Barack Obama as part of the 2009 stimulus package, such as the payroll tax cut and the AMT patch, expiration of all temporary provisions would raise over $500 billion in tax revenue. However, that translates to an average of an additional $3,500 collected from each household, if not extended. Ouch! Where do the biggest increases come from? First, income tax rates would increase from a range of 10% to 35%, back to 15% to 39.6%. In addition, the Bush tax cuts reduced the tax rate for dividends to a new 15% capital gains rate. If the Bush tax cuts are allowed to expire, then dividends will be taxed at ordinary rates, plus a 3.8% surtax under the Affordable Care Act, for a total maximum rate of 43.4%. The capital gains rate on other investment income will return to 20%. Economists and politicians have been debating whether the Bush tax cuts were a good idea for a decade. Some argue that the cuts were an effective way to spur growth in spending, while others argue that the loss of revenue added to the federal budget deficit. Almost all agree, however, that the temporary nature of the tax cuts have added to the wealth of lawyers and accountants that help clients plan for a future of uncertain tax consequences, and of lobbyists who get paid to press legislators for further extensions. However, if the expiration of the Bush tax cuts is a tax cliff, then it's a cartoon tax cliff. In cartoons, our hero or sidekick falls off a cliff, and those still standing above believe him dead. However, we see that our friend has not fallen to his death into a gorge, but has landed on a lower plateau a mere few feet down. Though the 2013 changes would be an increase from 2012 rates, the tax rates merely revert to the rates of the Clinton era, which were among the lowest in history. Since the passage of the 16th Amendment in 1913, tax rates have followed a fairly steep curve that started climbing during the Depression, peaking at the end of World War II with the highest individual income tax bracket at over 90%. Yes, 90%! During the 1950s and into the 60s, the highest tax rate was 91%. Since 1964, tax rates have steadily slid downward, with only a small increase during the George H.W. Bush administration. The presidential candidates are divided in the 2013 tax response. President Obama favors letting the tax cuts expire for most families earning over $250,000, though he would not use the term tax increase. Mitt Romney favors not only making the cuts permanent, but lowering the rates further. Politically, lowering tax rates is easy and gets people elected. Increasing rates is a good way not to get elected or reelected, creating a one-way ratchet effect. Though promising tax cuts wins votes, rates can only be lowered so far before revenues are simply too low. This is why candidates today, like Mitt Romney, talk of lowering tax rates but also of broadening the base by eliminating loopholes and deductions to raise the same revenue. Even so, what will the next candidate promise? This is Christine Hurt.